is what we've been doing, and hoping doesn't apply to the problem.
Yeah, and of course I start by thanking the organizers. I think this conference was especially organized for us, and because it was 1 month long, that was long enough to get into that field, and because there was this summer school part, and also because in the way it was organized. So this is why it also makes sense to thank the participants. So it was, I thank the organizers and I thank the participants. I had the feeling that the whole group was actually organizing this conference. And especially the style I liked. I think that also made it possible to give this talk. So this will be more a problem-posing talk, and it also shows this way into this area. And so when we came to this conference, there was in the first part, there wasn't really too many fluid and elasticity talks. So recently we had a couple of more fluid talks, but still not too many elasticity talks. So as a mechanical engineer, you think geometric mechanics is heaven, but then there was a question why there are not more elasticity talks. So our problems are in this area. And so first we talk about the model, then we talk about exterior calculus, discrete exterior calculus, finite element exterior calculus, and then the last part is actually where we would like to see your input. So the modeling of the shell, that stuff. So here we have the model, and it is similar to the image processing talks. The doctors, they nowadays, they have much more better tools to make images. So you may saw these retina images. And these retina images, they tell something about the person. So it's unique to every person, and they also tell something about the disease, whether you have diabetes or not, or whether you have too much cholesterol or whatever. And this is here actually a statement from from Giovanna. So that these doctors, they really need models in order to make use of these images. So open angle glaucoma is not the only thing that is interesting with the eye. So then here, what is open angle glaucoma? It's a very widespread and complex disease. And the current idea is that because of an elevated pressure here inside, the cells of the retina are kind of pressured to death, and this causes a problem. So here we have this optic nerve, and this is where the blood flow comes from. So the blood comes from the optic nerve, and then it spreads into four major arteries, and these arteries spread into smaller capillaries, and then they come back to veins, and these arteries and veins are almost on the same geometry. And they supply this retina and the cells with blood and this oxygen. And it's a complex thing, so this is currently acknowledged treatment, so to do something, to reduce the pressure here. So there's another group of doctors which thinks that might be related to the blood flow. So the blood flow could have a low blood pressure, could have a low pressure, and then again you don't have enough power to... you don't have enough pressure to supply oxygen. So here's the optical nerve, and the optical nerve head is this area. Yeah, and this area is a complex area, so there are many things going on. So if the blood is low, then you have a low pressure there, and you don't have enough oxygen in your retina. But there is actually an autoregulation that takes place, and so it's a complex thing. And so now if you look at this, you saw the geometry is a hemisphere almost. I mean, so if you take this part up to here, it's a hemisphere. And we have actually also other problems which are similar in the sense that there is PDEs on curved surfaces or PDEs involving curved surfaces. So our domain is a hemisphere, and then how do we start modeling this? This is a Darcy flow equation type. And so Darcy flow, so let's think here that the compliance is zero, or that we just have a stationary problem, and here the source term is zero. So then we have Darcy flow would be velocity is gradient of pressure times a coefficient, and in our case this coefficient is a tensor. It depends on the position, and then if you plug this in here in divergence, velocity is gradient of pressure and divergence of velocity is zero. So this, if you make things simpler here, then this reduces to a mixed Laplace equation. So here in this, I just kept this constant. So in the modeling, I mean in the computation, this is a space dependent, but here just for the writing, I kept it constant. Otherwise, I have to deal with much more indices, and I wanted to avoid this. So this would be then on a surface, so we have to do with indices, raising and lowering indices, and we can also write this in exterior calculus notation. Then the whole indices are here in the Hochstar operator, and we need to deal with them if we really want to compute something, but not if we don't want to compute something. So this this equation here has the two operators, exterior derivative and Hochstar. So if we use exterior calculus, so this is my summary of discrete exterior calculus 101, because with this, if you have an exterior derivative and you have an Hochstar, you can solve Laplace equation, so no convective term and nothing more complicated, and so that all fits on one slide. So simplicial complex we need, so we have here vertices, these are our zero simplices, we have edges, these are our one simplices, and faces, which are our two simplices. So the linear combination of these simplices, they span the space of k chains, and then we have here the dual mesh, and the dual mesh is nice, but it's not a simplicial complex. It's nice means so every dual mesh kind of centers around a point. It means that these points are inside the triangles, and then differential forms, so discrete differential forms is what comes from the integration, and the differential forms span the space of the cochains. Okay, so then we said we need these two operators, we need exterior derivative, we need Hochstar matrix. Exterior derivative comes from, falls off of Stokes' theorem. If you do this on the discrete way, it's adjoint to the boundary operator. The boundary operator is an adjacent matrix, so it's a matrix that tells me to this edge, these vertices belong to this edge, so that's easy, and there's no argue about this. And then we have the Hochstar matrix there. We worked with two options, and we thought about that stuff, and Hochstar matrix from discrete exterior calculus has the advantage it's diagonal, that's nice, and it has the disadvantage that this center might not be inside. So here we have the primal edge and the dual edge. They're orthogonal. So this is a dual edge here to this primal edge. They're orthogonal, therefore this matrix is diagonal, and also it makes sense that there is this length information, because the Hochstar is related to that we have a vector, we cannot express it in two different coordinate systems. That means partial of the length information is in the vector, therefore we need, if we relate between these two different matrices, we need that Hochstar. Finite element exterior calculus is actually more the theory about how to use the Rahm-Hook cohomology to find nice elements, to find suitable elements. So we use it, we just use, and it's kind of closely related to engineers to finite element methods. So finite element methods, they use these barycentric coordinates, which are defined by one being one at one corner, being zero at the other corner. And then you can compute exterior derivatives. If you have a Euclidean, then this is just gradient, but if you are on the surface, you again have to deal with indices, and then you multiply them and you get something. Okay, so this actually I wanted to cut short. This I will cut even shorter, and then I will go to the cells. So this is just, this is because this is not even the latest picture. So this was just where we, because I wasn't really expecting actually to give here a talk, it just turned out to be on Monday. And this was to incorporate here the case of different permeabilities, okay, that works. And then this is the two-dimensional domain, so we need to extend this to a three-dimensional domain, and this is the current work. And for this we use generalized barycentric coordinates. So we did this, we used PIDEC, and PIDEC is a nice tool. Mm-hmm.
So the
point is that what you want to have is, so we have here this hemisphere, and if we extrude this hemisphere for the third coordinate, so there was this Darcy flow, and then there was a third coordinate, and this was actually an artificial coordinate. This was to for the transport between arteries and capillaries and veins. So these third dimensions, that should be area preserving. So if you extrude this area preserving, then it's not anymore that, then you need generalized barycentric coordinates, because you need to, So, and then we used PyDAG, and PyDAG is a nice tool, and it's written in Python, and this was actually what Arne said when he gave that talk. He said PyDAG brought back the joy of programming, and I agree with this. It's just true. Okay, so then shells. So that was, so we had, for the moment, we have this Darcy flow. We did some computations. So after, so some time early next year, we want to start including the deformations of these retina. So the pressure outside, inside these deformations, how do they affect this? So now I have three slides on shell theories, and these three slides kind of summarize how engineers think when they think of shells. So, and this is what we want to relate to geometric mechanics. So we have here the reference configuration body B, and then the current configuration S, and then the configuration space is the embedding of B and S. So we have that mapping psi, and usually it was called phi in the other lectures, and that would be, so reference position vector 2, a point and surface in reference configuration, position vector 2, a point and surface in current configuration. So this would be written here in this as X is phi of capital X and T. So phi gives me here the mapping. And so first we do on this slide, we just do geometry. So we look at the surface, the mid surface actually of a shell, and we have this position vector. We can take derivatives, so we get local base vectors, we get a normal vector. And this is true for the reference configuration. We can have the same equations for the current configuration, but then not necessarily the director. So we call it director. It's not necessarily anymore the normal vector. So if we see here these pictures, here the director, the normal vector, is indeed the normal vector. So that is for a membrane which is just extended. So here this is what happens to that membrane. So if we bend this membrane, then normal vectors are still normal vectors. If we apply a transverse shear, then they are not anymore normal vectors. So this is encoded in this director. And this is a new unknown. So our unknown now are position and director. So then we have here this shell equation. So we describe a point in the shell by going to a point in the surface. Alpha goes from 1 to 3. I goes from 1 to 3 to from 1 to 3. So 1 to 2 and 1 to 3. And then we go along this director. And then we can compute base vectors at any point in that shell. So we can compute base vectors at any point in that shell, and we can compute the determinant of this. So this equation is what in the first week Mathieu put on and said this is the famous Steiner equation. So Steiner equation comes from the volume measure of a point in the shell by starting with this assumption, and this contains mean curvature, rate of change of normal vector and local coordinates, and Gaussian curvature. Okay, so this was geometry. So first, we think about geometry of the mid-surface, geometry of the shell. So what do we do next? Second step, think about deformation, strain, and curvature. So we have deformation. So here our friend, deformation gradient. And if we want to make life easier, we think in terms of small differences between reference and current configuration. So then the unknowns are not anymore position and director, but displacement and director displacement. And then things are easier to compute. So here our friend, deformation gradient. So this would be in geometric mechanics, there was that you compute the convective velocity by a left translation, this T phi inverse. So that would be multiplying by the inverse of F. So F is in this T phi. So that is it. And then we have something which looks like a metric. And we have this Cauchy-Green tensor, and then we have Green-Lagrangian strain tensor, which is the difference between metric and the state of nothing happens. So the strain encodes the difference. And And then we have also curvature. So curvature, now we do a pullback of the, so F minus 1 is that pullback for engineers, the pullback of the director in local coordinates, rate of change of normal vector compared with reference configuration. And then we have curvature tensor or curvature vector if you only look at this part. And then we can compute modified Lagrangian strain tensor. Here this H will be on the next slide. H takes into account that some things are initially not flat. So if we just think of a plate, we don't have this part. Okay, so first we have geometry. So surface, mid-surface, and then in the shell. Second, we have strain, we have deformation, curvature, strain. So what do engineers next? Usually we start from an integral balance equation. And so we say rate of change of something is a volume term and a surface term. So now and then, because we have to integrate this rate of change of something, the integral, the limits are time dependent. So in order to exchange, we use Reynolds transport theorem, which is the Lie derivative. Yeah, so that's for the convective part. And then the divergence theorem and get balance equations. So then we get balance equations. And then here, so what do we know? So our U's and sigmas are the unknown, unknown displacement and unknown director displacement. So our M's and our Y3, these are coefficients. And we see here that these coefficients, they all come from integrating over this volume measure, over the Stirner formula. So when you have the, so this would be what engineers do, and geometric mechanics would start with a Lagrangian, and then this would be a Lagrangian for kinetic energy and for potential energy. And then the kinetic energy would give us the left-hand side. And we would integrate over the surface, and inside this integral would be an integral over the shell thickness. And this integration over the shell thickness is gives here these coefficients. Okay, so then here what is B, and so these are body force terms basically, and for a shell, gravity would be a body force, so classical body force would be a body force, but also pressure and stress would be a body force for this surface, because the boundary of the shell are the curve, so at the moment because we express it as a surface. Okay, and then we have your stress tensor and we need to, and momentum tensor, divergence of, and we need to think about them. And here, let's first look at this here. So here we assume a linear relation between stress and strain. So this is stress vector, but just because we multiply it by a vector. And this here is the fourth order coefficient tensor that boils down to this thing, so with 64 coefficients, but for isotropic homogeneous material, we have just these two Lamé coefficients. And then we have a term for initially not flat, and we have a term for moment, which is again linear and curvature, and then a coefficient tensor. And we have here something which is related to rate of change of normal vector. So, and now we are at the last slide. So at the moment, so what we were doing while we were here was trying to gather information on several things, formulating that stuff in this area. And now we talked to some people and we kind of could fix more of the books and the papers that are related to. And this was great. So thanks to whoever talked to us. And so if you look at these equations here, they are equations in terms of displacement and director displacement. So one way of coming to these equations is to set up the strain energy. So this would be the Lagrangian, would be kinetic energy and potential energy, and potential energy would be the strain energy, partly strain and partly bending. And here, if we look at this here, that would be the traditional strain energy. This is again this fourth order coefficient tensor, and then if we take variations with respect to strain, then we would get the stress tensor, and here if we take variations with respect to curvature, we would get the moment tensor. So there are other ways, so, and then you would come up with equations for displacement and director displacement. But what you can also do is you can look at, so for Kirchhoff-Lowe plate strain energy, so no, I mean initially flat and everything easy, This actually can also be described in terms of fundamental forms. So so we can have an a strain energy where we have a function of metric. And this was actually something that I didn't really see too often here at these talks. So our metric, our Lagrangian would be metric dependent, and then we do some variation. That was the other way of doing this. Yeah, so then once we have this equation formulated, so we are looking for, of course, geometric mechanics helping in getting a better understanding of the equations and so on. And actually, there was one thing that I said. So for Kirchhoff-Loewe, this director is assumed to be normal. So if it is still normal, then we have an SO3 symmetry. So there are some symmetries that can be used. And then it's also that we want to go for numerical methods. So for shells, especially for shells, existing numerical methods have a problem. They have the problem that we have to deal here with an H cube term and an H term, which comes from the integration. So we have two terms of different order, and they have problems with it. And I'm pretty sure that geometric mechanics will help them. Yeah, and after this, there should be the slide. Thank you. Variational. I think I have one paper of some Hipmeyer people on generalized barycentric coordinates for prism elements. So what do you then? You do a scaling? I mean, the point for us is that we want to have an area-preserving mesh, so the areas of the base hemisphere and the top hemisphere should be the same. So do you do then a scaling? I mean, so you extrude normal direction, and then you have different areas, and then you scale?
It's just the elements,
right? Yeah, okay, prismal elements. Because you have one dimension thing.
The traditional way of like, address that is to sort of at least be doing it from a variational perspective is that you look at what happens if like, you have a convergence limit like, as the thin shell goes to zero. Right? So the question is, you know, maybe you should, instead of trying to do this, you know, balanced equation point of view, you really should look at it variationally, and then you should try to perhaps do something like gamma convergence. Only at the level of shell with zero thickness, it's like you can really have an honest problem on surfaces, and then you can.
mean, for the numerical discretization, so if you have the kinetic term only, then you use a variational integrator. If you have something that depends, that is space dependent, you need first to do the space discretization. So for a variational formulation, we were working from this in this month. So we are actually further than this one, only we didn't want to put it on the slides and break our legs.
So let me ask about the first one.
Should I go back to the slides?
No, that's fine. So you have a hemisphere. And in the hemisphere, you